This morning's message,
The Secret of God's Touch,
a covenant of reciprocity, and I'm going to make sure you understand that, because when I first read it, a pastor used it, and I went, okay, what does that mean exactly? So I set to studying to find out what a covenant of reciprocity means. And this is where the message is coming from. You see, all through the Bible, God likes establishing covenants. This is God. Covenants are not something we came up with. Actually, God came up with it. If you go back to Genesis chapter 9, God set up a covenant with Noah after the flood. You remember? He said, I'll no longer destroy the earth with the flood. But there will be a sign. And by the way, people say, well, didn't Noah see a rainbow before that? Not actually. We don't have any record of rain as you know it today. Much of the watering of the earth came from underground. Long story, it wasn't the same as it is today. And so rainbows appear in the sky today. The atmosphere has changed too, and a lot of people believe that, yes, that began in a different day. But that was God's sign. Exodus 2:24, God remembers his covenant he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I remember the covenant I made with you. Who's making the covenant? God's making the covenant. Men are not making the covenant. God is. And then God, in Exodus 16:34, made a long-lasting covenant. It was called the covenant of the law. And the children of Israel were to follow the law. And this new covenant that they had that was to last for thousands of years was a covenant for all the children of Israel. If they followed the law, then God would bless them. If they broke the law, they had to make sacrifices. This whole concept of a covenant through the law was God preparing men for the new covenant. For us to understand the new covenant in Jesus Christ, you have to understand the old covenant. The old covenant, meaning there is certain things required of God. If you don't do them, there's somewhere there has to be a sacrifice to atone for that breakage of the law. When Jesus came, though, things changed. And all through the scriptures, I want you to understand, some people think the Old Testament was written, and then when Jesus came, we wrote the New Testament, and therefore we said, let's put them together. Well, let's put the Old Testament in there, and then let's put the New Testament in there, so we got them both. No, that's not the way it was. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament was the preparation for the New Testament. The Old Covenant was in the preparation for the New Covenant. God establishes with us a relationship through a covenant. Because we're sinners, we can't have a relationship with God unless it's through a covenant that he has set up, not us. And this is what's different about Christianity. Christianity is not about men doing religious things to appease a God and so that God will then bless them. We don't have five pillars like Islam. We don't have the different requirements in Hindu. We don't have the different requirements that Buddhists have. The reason is because those are covenants that men tried to make with God, and they create them. They're not sure if they work. As a matter of fact, even Islam will say, we don't know whether you get to heaven. This is just what you have to do. Allah will not tell us. But God, our God that we worship, set up covenants. And covenants were relationships that were based on a principle of covenant. The first one, major one, was based on the law, the covenant was a law covenant. The second came, though, and I want you to read with me Jeremiah 31, 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. And in this, I don't normally do this, but I open to the page. I'm going to read it off mine because this is the New International, but Jeremiah 31, 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord. This is Jeremiah speaking what the Lord has told them, what the Lord has told him, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with the ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord. Or no longer will they set up religious practices. That's what this is saying. So that you can get to know God through your religious paraphernalia. Or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. What new covenant was this? It was speaking of the new covenant that God was going to set up. Men did not set it up. The Christian church is not man's creation. It's based on a covenant relationship that God set up. God sent his only son into the world to die for us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. God set the covenant up. We just respond. The new covenant, though, if you want to look at it in Mark chapter 14, verse 24, says, we have Bible drills at our school, by the way. And we did, and I would have them stand at the front, and they had to hold their Bibles at their sides, and then I would say charge, and they had to find certain scriptures. And we gave prizes and everything else. This was, some of them could get it inside of 2 seconds, any scripture. And I thought it was good because I was brought up that way. I can find scripture usually in 2 or 3 seconds. I don't have to flip off. Now, half the students, when they started with us the beginning of a year, if they're new, have to go to the front and look it up in the front on the table of contents. Oh, let me see. Oh, there it is. But we memorize the scripture, and then we know where it is. So I think that's important for you in finding things, but we're not going to have a Bible drill here, not today. Anyway. Mark chapter 14, verse 24. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. He said to them, truly I say to you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. This is my blood of the covenant. Now we have Lord's
of the new covenant, and I will not drink of the new wine until I come into my kingdom.
anywhere else to anyone else outside of Jesus? Anybody got an answer? No. There is no other covenant. God set up the covenants. And when he set them up, he set one up for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah, and he set up covenants down through time. And then he had the law covenant, which was for all people, but especially for the children of Israel. Then he said, now I'm setting up the covenant, the one that all of this is pointing towards, for all people of all cultures of all times. Well, what about the Muslims? What about the Hindus? What? They need Jesus too. Because God said, I'm setting it up this way. We didn't set it up this way. Man's religions do not reach God. Man's religions do not allow man to be touched by God. But through Jesus Christ, we can be touched. These covenants were established, though, in a little different way. It wasn't the law anymore. You have the law, you follow the law. If you don't follow the law, then you have to have a sacrifice for that sin. That's no longer the case. Because Jesus died on the cross, and when he died on the cross, he paid the price for our sins, and that sacrifice on the cross, as he raised his hands out, sometimes when I worship, I raise my hands, it's because if he raised his hands for me, I can raise my hands for him. But he raised his hands, and he was nailed to the cross. And when he was nailed to the cross, he paid the price, the sacrifice that is necessary for the broken covenant. And therefore, our covenant is in Jesus' blood, is in Jesus Christ. It's not through laws and practices. It's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are not religious. If you say, well, I'm of this religion, I'm not. I'm not of any religion. Religion's set up by man. It's his attempt to please God. It's his practices to please God. Now, I do come to church. I do worship. But I don't come to worship because it's a religious practice. I come because I have a relationship with Jesus. And he said, do not do like the world, but make sure you come together. Do not deny the assembling of yourselves together as the heathens do. But what is the relationship there? And I want to talk about what a covenant is. A definition I have for covenant is, and I've got it, there you go. These covenants were established in reciprocity. I'll talk about it in a minute. The quality and the state of reciprocal mutual dependence, action, and influence. A mutual exchange of privileges, specifically a recognition by one or two countries or institutions of the validity of license or privileges granted by the other. What does all that mean? A covenant is where you have something you give, and the other person has, that you're making covenant with, has something they give in return. And it's reciprocity. It means you've agreed on it. A covenant, yes, you agree on, but it's more than that. It's reciprocity. I give, you give. You don't give all the time, and not I don't give. Reciprocity means if you're giving, I'm giving. By the way, I went out and bought my wife a phone, an iPhone. And it hurt a little bit. Hurt the checkbook. They cost a lot of money. She got a 10. She got the latest 10. Yeah. But here's the point. The only reason I'm saying that. Reciprocity. And I told her, I said, you have done so much for me. I cannot ever pay that back. And the least I can do, you have a piece of junk phone. You need something that is good. It's your retirement and your birthday present. And the next 4, 6, 7 birthday presents. But in that reciprocity, it means because you have done for me, I do for you. Not because I'm required or it says in a law I have to do it, but because I have made a covenant with you and I cannot help but do because you have done. And that's the relationship we have with Jesus. Ain't that good? But the problem I think most Christians have is they don't understand that. They don't understand reciprocity. They don't understand covenant relationships with reciprocity. They don't do. God does all the doing and I just sit there. I get all the blessings and God gives me all the blessings and I just sit there. No, it doesn't work that way. And if you start seeing the blessings back off, I remember one time my wife and I were praying and she says, I don't think my prayers are getting above the ceiling. And I said, well, you know whose problem that is? Ours, not God's. To have God's touch on you, to have God's anointing on you, to have God's presence with you, you have to walk in a type of covenant relationship with him that is reciprocal, which means I am searching constantly to seek how I might benefit God. My life is a testimony for God. How can I not say it? I don't hide my Christianity. That's not reciprocity. That's not covenant relationship. You get married to a woman, men, and you go to work and work there 6 years and they don't know you're married, your wife is going to get you. You tell them you're married. You say, I got to call my wife. I know about that. Call her at least before I leave today. I got to call her and check on her. She's not going with me because this is her last day of work, by the way. She's retiring too. And she has to finish up this week. But this is the only week I can go. So I got to call her before I go. I said, I will call you and I will call you down the road and I will call you when I get there. Why? Reciprocity. I have a committed heart to my wife. Yesterday I went to the Greek festival. Do you know why I went? Not because I was saying that I want to go to a Greek festival. No, I don't even like baklava. That stuff is too, it's like picking up bricks and trying to eat it. Sweet as it can be, I can't eat much. But anyway, I went. The reason I went is I made a covenant relationship with my family a long time ago. And it's a commitment to my family. I will not go against my family. My family says we get together. I go, okay, sometimes. Because it's tough. And sometimes I've got to pick up. I'm going to Texas in 3 weeks. And I'm going to fly out there. 2 weeks. And I'm going to fly out there and spend time with my daughter. Why? I like Texas? No, I don't like flying either, especially in the summer. If you've ever flown in the summer, it's a challenge. Because my family's out there, and I made a commitment to my family. And if I don't follow through with something, there's no reciprocity there. Don't tell me I'm a family member if I never reach out to my family and try to do things and try to say, how can I reach them? But I want you to know God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us, to give us new life through the blood of Jesus. How much more should we give to God? You know, I look around and I see churches dwindling in attendance. And I go, where are the Christians? Because there's a lot of Christians, you know. Where are the Christians? Well, I'll tell you where they are. They don't understand reciprocity. You talk to them, I believe Jesus, and I believe he's the Son of God, and I'm saved. Mm-hmm. When are you going to sit down at the table with the Father? When are you going to come home? When are you going to worship with the saints? When are you going to create a fellowship with a group of people who want to establish a deeper walk with Christ? When are you going to do these things? Because you see, The problem is the commitment's in your heart, but it hadn't hit your head yet. Reciprocity is when you begin to think, how can I benefit the person I have a covenant relationship with? Men? If you never do anything for your wife, that's not reciprocity, and that's certainly not a covenant relationship. You actually sit down. Now, you know what are the best gifts my wife says I give? The ones where she didn't say she needed it, but I did it. The ones where she doesn't have to beg me to do it. I just show up and say, I've been thinking about that. I've told you many times how in my life I've had people come up to me and say, I did this for you. And I go, wow. I had someone who came up and said, we want to give you a dinner. And I go, wow. And they said, what's your favorite place? And I said, well, depends. But I to Smithfield Barbecue. So they got me a Smithfield Barbecue card. I didn't ask for that. I didn't even know where that came from. They just felt like, it was one of my parents at the school, they felt like they had a covenant with me to teach their child, and they needed to add to the thing as much as I was giving, they needed to give too. You see, a covenant relationship means we give equally. We reciprocate what is given to us. How do you reciprocate what has been given to you? There are some that say, well, I give. I mean, I really sacrifice. I want you to know how I sacrifice. Once a year, I get up early on Easter Sunday morning, and I go to sunrise service and I go to Easter service. How about it, wives, if your husband said, once a year, I come home? You'd say, I think you need to find another wife. Whenever a moment, I see a lot of people come to church. Have you ever noticed this? People come to church and they will sit down and they will go, wow. And they come up to me, Mr. Sidney, that just moved my heart. I felt God's presence. I'm really excited about it. I'm ready to go. I'm excited. And then you don't see them ever again. So we go and we visit them because we had a visitor's card on. And we go by, we'd love for you to come. Well, I've added a new job and it's on Sunday and I can't come back to church anymore. Well, what happened on that Sunday? Well, what it was God moved in your heart, but it didn't get to your head. Well, you actually thought, how can I make this a commitment, a covenant relationship with God? How can I reciprocate? Some people say, oh, he doesn't want us to do that. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said to a man who was trying to follow him. A young man came to him and said, well, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you need to do this, 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 and this. And the man said, I've done all those things. I'm good. I am. If you ever want to see a good person, I am it. How many people sitting out there, I go to visit, say, I'd like for you to come to church. I am good. I am so good. I don't need to go to church. I talk to God every day. I read the Bible at least once every year. I'm good. This is what Jesus said to him. It's in Mark chapter 10, verse 20 and 21. He answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said this. Notice he said, and loved him and said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And then come, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus carried a cross for us. What does he call us to do? reciprocate. You carry your cross. We're not called to enjoy the cross bearing that Jesus did without reciprocating a cross bearing life. Now, what it is for you and what it is for me may be two different things. It's not the same. And you don't sit down and analyze, all right, let me see what Avon's doing, and I think I'll try to do that because Avon's a pretty good Christian, and I think if I did what Avon did, then I would be following Christ. Or my mama's a good Christian, and let me think how mama did it, and that's what I'm going to do. It's not what God's called us to do. And that's what's so freeing about Christianity, and why I don't get it, why the young people today, so many don't get it. Christianity is the most freeing faith and walk you could ever have. It's not. It is a sacrificial walk, yes, and that's where they're afraid. Because God individually comes to me and you, and say, I want you to do this. He sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us, to give us what he wants us to do. Charles, you're not supposed to look like me. I don't want you to stop looking like me or acting like me, trying to do what I do. No, that's not what we're here for. We're here to follow Jesus as he leads us by the calm and quiet voice that he put within us by the Holy Spirit. And when we do, God begins to pour out his Spirit. But hear me. It is always, almost always, with some cross to bear. You have a cross to bear. Now you say, what cross? I don't know. Look for it. I mean, it's not like you go out and say, what can I do to punish myself so that I can reciprocate? No, it's not that. It's what can I do for Christ that shows that I am love him and I'm reciprocating? Following Christ is a commitment. It's not just standing by and following. There was a chicken and a pig, and they went by a sign, and the sign said, ham and eggs on Saturday. This particular church was going to have ham and eggs breakfast. The chicken looked at the pig and said, let's go. The pig said, no. Chicken said, oh, come on, let's go. Ham and eggs be great breakfast. The pig said, no, I said no. Chicken said, why don't you want to go? He said, because yours is a donation. Mine is a sacrifice. Christ has not called us to an easy life, but a blessed life. The most blessed life you could ever walk. So whenever you talk to people and you say, why don't you do this or why don't you do that? Many times they have an excuse or a reason. But the bottom line is they have no commitment. A commitment means this: I don't care how much it hurts, I will do it. I don't care if it's not me, I will do it. I've had people say, well, that's just not me. It's just not me. God said, go ye therefore and make disciples. Well, that's just not me. I wasn't born that way. I'm just not an outreaching person. I just don't do that type of thing. God has not called us to be something. He's called us to be obedient and to sacrifice whatever it is. And for every one of us, something is a sacrifice. For me, for my wife, getting up early is not a sacrifice. She bounces up. She's up. Crack of dawn. She was up this morning at 5. Yes, sir. Let's go. Not me. I was dragging at 8. So for me, if I were to get up at 5, it would be a sacrifice. God did not call us to be comfortable. He called us to sacrifice. He called us to set aside everything that we think is us for his kingdom. Following Christ is a commitment where we follow his commands and we follow him. We do it in reciprocation. What is a reciprocation again? Reciprocation is when I feel like I haven't given to you like you have given to me. How best to reciprocate? He sacrificed his life for me. What cross can I bear for him? By the way, I want to just say this in closing. It affects every other relationship.
Husbands and wives, whenever you have a covenant relationship with God, it begins to affect your covenant relationship with your wife and husband. Because no longer do you look at her as somebody that I romantically fell in love with, and when the romance is gone, then I'm gone. You realize that your heart was moved by her. And by the way, guys, your heart was moved. You married her. She's yours.
Suck it up and stay with her. And the reason is because you made a commitment. It doesn't mean, and that's why when the pastor, at least in the vows, and I like Christian vows. By the way, I know there might be somebody here this morning that says, well, I wasn't married in a church. I was married wherever, and we didn't have Christian vows. We've done this before in our churches, and that is to have couples who later on in life say, we need to do it the Christian way. We need to have covenant, Christian covenant marriage, and we need to have the vows to God. Because whenever you commit to your wife, it's before God. And whenever I talk with anybody I marry, and by the way, that might be why I haven't married anybody in 6 years in this church. They listen to the requirements and they go, I'll go out to the duck farm and get married. That's easier. But whenever you have a Christian wedding and you give Christian, and young women and young guys, we've had different marriages in our, or different weddings in our family, and we've seen all different kinds. I could tell you something. But the ones that meant the most to a daddy's heart and to an uncle's heart were the ones where they said, I don't care what the world does. I want to be in the house of the living God, and I want to be married under the auspices of the favor of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because I don't want to play with my marriage. It's not a fun thing where we just run through life just having fun. I want a marriage that lasts. I want a marriage that's beautiful. I want a marriage that's sacrificial. I sacrifice as much as she sacrifices, or what, vice versa. A reciprocal marriage. That's what I want to see. It doesn't come lightly and it doesn't come easy, but if you've made a covenant relationship with God and you're walking in that, you understand what a covenant relationship is. But also family. It affects your covenant relationship with your family. I mentioned yesterday, I did Greece yesterday because I wanted a covenant relationship with my family. I had made that. Whenever they get together, I get together. And then the third thing is it affects all your other extended family, extended friends, and because let me tell you something. If you have a friend and you've really said, you're my friend, should have a bond there. And if you have a covenant relationship with a friend, it's their sacrifice there. You cannot have a covenant relationship with a friend without a sacrifice. If you don't, if there's no sacrifice on either side of the fence, or one or the other, the friendship dies. And also your other relationships that you have even further out are affected by covenant relationships. Thank you.